study chapter 25th, subject diversity rainfall in Vrindavan. When Indra understood that the sacrifice offered by the cowherd's man in Vrindavan was thus stopped by Krishna, he began too much angry upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, although he knew it perfectly that Krishna personally was protecting them. Indra is actually the director of different kinds of clouds, and as such, he called for the Samvarta cloud. This Samvarta cloud is invited when there is need for devastating the whole cosmic manifestation. The Samvarta cloud was ordered by Indra to go over the head of Vrindavan and inundate the whole area by extensive flood, thinking himself as all-powerful supreme personality. This is an instance of demonic tendency. The demons, when they become very much powerful, they defy the supreme controller personality of God. So Indra also, being puffed up by his material position, wanted to challenge the supreme controller, and he thought himself, at least for the time being, as good as Krishna. Indra began to say, just see the impotency of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are simply inhabitants in the forest, but being infatuated by their friend Krishna, who is nothing but an ordinary human being, has dared to defy the demigods. Krishna has declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the worshippers of the demigods are a less intelligent person. And he has also declared that one has to give up all kinds of worship and simply concentrate to Krishna consciousness. Krishna's invoking the anger of Indra and later on chastising him is a clear indication to his devotees that those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness has no business to worship any demigod, even if sometimes it is found that the demigod becomes angry with such persons. This will completely depend on the mercy of Krishna, and even the demigods are angry upon them, Krishna will give them all protection. Thus Indra defied the action of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and began to say that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, by defying the authority of the demigods, will thus suffer in their material existence because neglecting the sacrifice of the demigods, they cannot cross over the impediments of the ocean of material existence. They also declared that these cowherd's men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority, believing on this talkative boy known as Krishna is nothing but a child, but by this action of believing the child, they have enraged my passion. Thus he ordered the Samvarta cloud to go there and destroy the prosperity of the cowherd's men in Vrindavan. He said that the cowherd's men in Vrindavan have become too much puffed up for their material opulence, and the presence of their teeny friend Krishna, who is simply a talkative, a childish, aware of the complete cosmic situation and thinking himself as very much advanced in knowledge. Because these cowherd's men have taken Krishna so seriously, they must be punished, and he ordered the Samvarta cloud to go there and inundate their place, specifically destroy their cows. Otherwise, it is indicated here that in villages or outside the towns, the inhabitants must depend for their prosperity on the cows. And when the cows are destroyed, they become destitute from all kinds of opulences. Although King Indra ordered the Kumbhakra cloud and his companion to go to Vrindavan, they were afraid of doing this mischief. And therefore, to give them assurances, King Indra said that you go first of all, then I am also going there, riding on my elephant, accompanied by the great storms and prepared to punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan. I shall apply all my strength there. Where, thus being ordered by King Indra, all the dangerous clouds appeared on the head of Vrindavan, and they began to pour in water incessantly for all strength and power. There was a constant exhibition of lightning and thunderbolt, blowing of severe winds, and incessant falling of rains, and the rainfall was experienced as very much piercing and sharp like arrows. In this way, when the clouds were pouring water as thick as pillars incessantly, gradually, all the lands in Vrindavan became filled up with water, and there was no distinction to find out which land was higher and which land was lower, specifically creating a situation very much dangerous to the animals. The rainfall being accompanied by great wind, every living creature in Vrindavan, namely all the animals, all the cowherdsmen, all the gopis, began to tremble on account of severe cold, and without finding any other source of deliverance, all of them approached Govinda, Lord Krishna, for taking shelter at his lotus feet. Cows especially, being too much aggrieved on account of heavy rain, bowed down their head and took their cuffs underneath their body, and thus approached the Supreme Personality of God to take shelter of his lotus feet. At that time, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to pray to Lord Krishna as follows. My dear Krishna, you are all powerful, and you are very much affectionate to your devotees. Now, you please protect your devotees in Vrindavan who have been too much harassed by angry Indra, king of the demigods. Upon that prayer, Krishna also could understand that Indra, being bereft of his sacrificer, is certainly pouring so heavily, accompanied by heavy pieces of ice and strong wind, although time was out of season. So Krishna could understand that this was deliberately the exhibition of anger by Indra. Krishna thus concluded that these demigods who are thinking themselves as the supreme have shown their extreme powers, but I shall reply them according to my position, for I shall teach them that they are not all in all in the matters of managing universal affairs, but I am the supreme lord over all of them. So I shall thus kick out their false prestige out of material power. Lord Krishna thought within himself that the demigods are his devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but somehow or other they have become a little bit puffed up on account of their material power, and thus they are now maddened with you. As such, I shall act in such a way that they will be relieved from such false prestige. I shall therefore give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, who are at present completely at my mercy, and whom I have taken as completely under my protection, I must save them by my equally mystic power. Thinking like this, Lord Krishna immediately plucked up the Govardhan hill with one hand, exactly like the children pluck up the mushroom from the ground. Thus he exhibited his transcendental pastime of lifting the Govardhan hill. After thus lifting the Govardhan hill, Lord Krishna began to address as follows: "My dear brothers, my dear father, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under the umbrella of the Govardhan hill which I have just now lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think that it may fall down from my hand. You have been too much afflicted by the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore, I have lifted the hill which will protect you exactly like a strong and huge umbrella. I think this is the proper arrangement for relieving you from your immediate distresses. So you be happy along with your animals underneath this great umbrella." Being assured by Lord Krishna in this way, all the cowherds, men and inhabitants of Vrindavan entered in the hole underneath the great hill, appeared to be safe and sound along with their property and animals. In that way, the inhabitants of Vrindavan along with their animals remained in that way continually for 1 week without being disturbed by any hunger or thirst or any other comforts. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding the mountain, resting on one finger of his left hand. This Indra, the king of heaven, became too much astonished by seeing the extraordinary mystic power of Krishna, and thus himself being thunderstruck, baffled in his determination, immediately called for all the clouds, asked them to stop their action. In this way, when the sky became completely clear, without any cloud, and there was sunrise again, the strong wind stopped. At that time, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, began to address the cowherds men in Vrindavan as follows: "My dear cowherds men, now you can get out from this great hole along with your wild children, cows and valuables, because now everything is ended and the inundation flood has also gone down along with the flowing waters of the river. Upon these, all the cowherds men along with their respective cows and other paraphernalia came out of the hole and loaded their valuables on carts, and slowly they cleared off the hole of Govardhan Hill. When they cleared off everything, Lord Krishna also very slowly placed the Govardhan Hill exactly in the same position as it was before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna with their feelings of love and began to embrace him with great ecstasy. And the gopis, being naturally very much affectionate to Krishna, began to offer him curd mixed up with their tears of the eyes and began to pour incessant blessings upon him. Specifically, Maharaj Jasoda, Maharaj Rahini, Maharaj Nanda Balaram, who is the strongest of all the strong, began to embrace Krishna one after another, and out of their feeling, affection, began to bless him over and over again. In this space also, different demigods from different different planetary system as Siddha Loka, Gandharva Loka, Charan Loka, he also began to show their complete satisfaction and began to pour on the surface of the world the showers of love. They also sounded their different concerts, beating of drums, being induced by godly feelings, and the diligence of Gandharva Loka began to play on their tanbura, please the Lord. After this incident, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being surrounded by his dear friends and the animals that his village Vrindavan and the gopis as usual began to chant the glorious pastimes of Lord Krishna, very feeling as if they were chanting from the heart. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta part of the 25th chapter in the matter of devastation of Vrindavan. He is now